Father Almighty God, Lord, we're just thankful for such an opportunity to get into your word and to be blessed by it. My Father, I ask that you will speak to each one of us right now. Make it real in our hearts and our minds and in our lives, God, so that we, as we follow it, that we will be complete, we will be victorious in all things that we do. We praise you and honor you for it again in Jesus, the magnificent Lord, our Savior's name. Amen, amen. All right, I want to, first of all, recap a little of what I talked about last week. And last week I talked about binding the strong man. I want to say this. First of all of us are strong men. And when I use the word men, I'm talking about men and women. All of us are the strong men of our households, of our temples that God has blessed us with, meaning that you and I have the power to organize and orchestrate our lives so that when the enemy come, we are well capable of fighting against the enemy, well able to bind the enemy. And I'm talking about spiritual things more so. Sometimes we are overcome by, in physical force, by people that have weapons and so forth. But in terms of binding the strong man, sometimes as well, some of us allow a stronger man to enter into us. And in fact, I'm going to read what Matthew chapter 12 speaks of. Matthew 12, starting at verse 22. And it reads, "And then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him," talking about Jesus, "healed him, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, which is the ruler of the other devils. And Jesus knew their thought and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then this kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. And if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is coming to you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." And so here's the story of Jesus telling the Pharisees and the Sadducees, in actuality, we do have the power to cast out demons. But even more so in this day of Christianity that we have powers to keep devils from entering in. But strangely enough, we do things and we allow things that allow enemies to come in, and they take control of our temples, they take control of our houses, and thereby we have to work hard and we wrestle against things to get him out. Because there's another story that I'll read later, whereas it talks about, well, I'll just drop over to that right quickly, and that is in the same chapter, Matthew chapter 12, starting at verse 43, and it says this: "When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and he finds none. Then he says, I will return into my house." He's made a claim. "I'm going to return to my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he finds it empty, swept, and garnished," or in other words, put in order. "Then goeth he, and he takes with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and they dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so it shall be also unto this wicked generation." In essence, what Jesus was saying is that sometimes when we get saved, we cast out an evil spirit. Because at first we had the spirit of the ungodly world. Now we take in the spirit of the godly world. But when we are made clean and we're swept out, there are times that even Christians allow unclean spirits to enter back in, and they do it basically in three areas: through our minds, our physical sense, and our spirituality that we walk in. We allow the enemy to come back in. And I'm going to talk and actually even identify areas that we allow him to come in. But just to recap a little bit about what I said last week. First of all, who is the strong man that we have allowed to enter in? Number one, he is the devil. Secondly, they are unclean spirits, and they are the things that we allow ourselves to get hooked on. Thirdly, for the regenerate man, or the man that's not born again, it is the spirit of disobedience that dwells within him. And, of course, I mentioned earlier that for the Christian, however, it is the laws of the flesh that we allow to dominate in our lives, and we allow it to fulfill certain things in our lives. Paul spoke of it over in the 7th chapter of Romans. He said that there are things that I would do and I find myself not doing, and there are things that I shouldn't do that I find myself doing. In other words, he understood that in this body that we live in, we wrestle against the things in it. He said as well, we don't really wrestle against flesh and blood, but really against principalities and powers. But these principalities and powers causes our flesh to be the dominant force in our lives, that we end up really wrestling with it. Now, that is who the strong man is. His objective is to control us so that he can determine the outcome. His objective as well is to destroy the influence of God in our lives. And lastly, his objective is to get the glory out of living in us. In other words, a lot of it shows up in pride. A lot of it shows up in the things that we do and so forth. Now, if you think that it is not a consequence for allowing the strong man to run your life, let me show you how it works. When there is another strong man dominating my life, he's the one that's winning. And in that winning process for him, it means defeat for me. Because when I can control my own life, I'm winning. But when I let somebody else control it, we lose. We ought to be able to understand that in the process of slavery. When we were living when our ancestors were living in Africa, in our own country, we were dominating our lives. But when we came to America through hook and crook and all kinds of things that came down through the ages, we lost the dominance in our lives, and then we had to follow the rules of the man or the woman that was over us. That's just the way it is with the slave. That's the way it is with the servant. And therefore, the Bible tells us a lot of things that we are not to allow so that we don't become the servant or the slave. And so it's a consequence of life. And as a result of it, a lot of times it devastates our households. It devastates our lives when we allow the stronger man to come in and take control. And a lot of these strong men that do come in aren't done. They are not done by force, but they are done through subtle ways. Give you an example as to what I mean when I say that. Adam and Eve were given a commandment to not partake of a fruit. But the subtle way that it came in is that it appeared to be something that was beautiful. And it appeared to be something that was good. And it appeared to be something that would have made them wise. Again, back to pride. And as a result of it, when they partook of that fruit, they became the slave of death, and thereby everybody dies, even since then. Now, we as well understand in the recap that I'm making is that we do have weapons. Number one, our weapon is that what 1 John 4:4 says, and it talks about how it is that is greater is he that is in us, talking about Jesus Christ, than he that is in the world. We also as well have to be determined to fight against the strong man that approaches us. And even when he gets entwined in our spirit or our flesh, we have to really fight and fight hard to get him out. David, when he was fighting against Goliath, one of the things that David was in his heart and mind, and that was he was determined to fight the giant. So it doesn't matter how big they are, how small they are. The thing is, we have to be determined to get the strong man out of our country, out of our lives, out of our bodies, and therefore it calls for us to fight. Another weapon that we have, and that is, according to Ephesians, that we are to put on the whole armor of God. And when we put the armor of God on, there are things that keeps the strong man from entering in. And then one of those weapons as well is the sword of the Spirit, which means that we can as well fight. We just don't work in a defensive mode, but we work in an offensive mode as well. And of course, I mentioned as well last week that Some of us, when we get the strong man out of our lives, we forget or we refuse to close the gates. And the gates are what is needed to be closed to keep him out. Otherwise, like Matthew 12:43 says, that when he's gone out, he's going to go out and he's going to get seven others worse than he is, and he's going to come back in. And how does he get back in? He gets in through the eye gate. He gets in through the nose gate, the ear gate, and all of these gates, the mouth gate, all of these gates that allow him to come back in and be worse than it was prior to that. Now, that was binding the strong man. Now I want to talk about identifying. And I want to say this really up front, because I'm going to name some things that are strong men in our lives, and I'm not trying to point a finger at any particular person, but they become strong men in our lives, and it's hard for us to shake them off, because once he become a strong man, in essence, we're hooked on it. And because we're hooked on it, he began to dominate us and push us from one way to another. And as I mentioned last week, all of us at some point in time in life has to contend with a strong man. But whether he's the strong man out there or in here makes the world of difference as to whether we're winning this battle that we come up against. And so today, again, I'm going to identify strong men that we do have or center ourselves around in this life. And again, I want to say this in prefacing. Do not take this, if I name something that you're dealing with and you know that I know, do not take this as if I'm speaking of a particular individual, okay? It's just the things that we deal with in life. And I'm no exception to the rule. Because last week I mentioned that there was sugar that I had a challenge with when I was a kid, and I loved the sweets. And then the more I ate it, the more I wanted to eat it, and therefore it became a strong man in my life, because in a sense, I became hooked on it. Now, I don't deal with it as much now. I do put sugar on my food, but it's not one of those dominant forces that I have to have like I was when I was a kid. And that's why maybe it's good for kids to even understand as well, with them being out here, that there are some things in life that you just have to refuse from the beginning, even if it appears to be something that you want. If you know it's not good for you, you have to repel it. But that's why I talked about the subtleness of life, the subtleness of the strong man, the subtleness of the devil and unclean spirits. It will never be presented to you as if it is something that will mess your life up. It's always in the process of looking good, feeling good, and making you prideful or making you appear to think that you are on top of it all. So here's the first one. Let me say this first of all. The strong man, as I mentioned, attack us in three major areas. He's going to attack us physically. He's going to attack us mentally, and he's going to attack us spiritually. Ultimately, the spiritual aspect is what he wants to get us most of all, because he knows that God has sent us into the world and that he sent Jesus into the world to save us. And in some of our lives, he destroys our body. Some of our lives, he destroys us in a sense mentally. But if he cannot get to your spiritual man to corrupt it, for you to go to hell, for you to live a short life and die and end up in the place that was prepared for him, then you're all right if you can handle all of that. But let's look at some physical strong men. One of them is shopaholics. What do I mean when I say shopaholics? There are some people that just like to shop. I'm not saying it's women, I'm not saying it's men, but there are some people that just like to shop, and as a result of it, they end up spending money. They spend money on things that they don't need. They spend money on things that they do need, but ultimately, unless they control this strong man up front, they find themselves being devastated, and they enter into bankruptcy, and they enter into things that will mess up their lives. That is one strong man. And like I said, it doesn't start out bad. It's just that, well, I see this little thing that I want, and I know I don't have to have it, but I just want it anyway. And the more that we get involved into that stuff, the stronger that the man gets. Let me say this about the strong man. Sometimes he doesn't start out so strong. It's just that when we give him the power and we give him the means to become stronger as he partake and kind of pushes himself into our lives, that's when we look up and we find out that, wow, I have a bigger problem than I ever would have thought that I had, because the strong man now is dominating my life as opposed to me dominating my life. And that's just one area. And this is physical things now I'm talking about, because what happens ultimately, the shopaholic gets hooked on shopping, and then they go shopping even when they don't want to go shopping. When they don't even have money, they go shopping. And that's when the credit card comes into play, because I got to have it. And then when the credit card's not there anymore, it's like, oh, I got all these bills. Now I have to pay up. That is one area. Another one, which ultimately gets a lot of kids, smoking. And what happens with smoking is this. When I remember when I was young, guys wanted to look cool. And that's the idea that kind of pops up from it. And when they smoke, ultimately what happens, there's a stronger man that's working on the inside. And yeah, it does look cool. And when you're looking at all of the advertisement that used to be anyway, it shows a guy, Joe Camel, you know, and all of that was fine. And it's fine until it gets to the point where you say, well, you know, I want to quit this thing and I can't quit. And it gets to the point where now you're hooked, and it's a strong man that's operating on the inside of it, of us. And whereas it started off maybe looking good, it started off with it looking cute with us going shopping, this is the results of what happens. And it wouldn't be so bad if this didn't happen, but this is where it gets bad as a result of it. And I know by experience, because I've lost 4 or 5 sisters and brothers from this. Cancer, get emphysema, throat cancer, lung cancer, hospital bills galore, but it's the strong man now that's being identified that's on the inside of us, and that he's moving whichever way that he wants to move until it gets to the point that he kills us. But that's just one strong man. How about gluttony? There are some people that just eat, 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 eat. And you can be skinny or not skinny. It's still, if this is a strong man that's operating on us, we need to fight against a strong man and curtail that man. Otherwise, it becomes a habit, and it becomes something that is too big for us to handle. You know, I said gluttony, that's just one means, but then on the other end of that, there is something that they call dieting all the time, in which some people say, well, I don't want to be fat, so I'll just not eat. And they get over into things like anorexia and bulimia, and in which one is like anorexic. How do you do that? You don't eat, you starve yourself to death. But then bulimia, you say, well, I'm going to eat, but then I'm going to stick my hand down my throat and throw it all back up. All of that is a strong man that works against many, many people. And we have to understand that this strong man is out to kill us. He's out to do us great harm, but we have to take control of it up front. And these are physical things that we do on a day-to-day basis. Need I say much about alcohol? Alcohol, the Bible even warns us about it. You know, Paul told Timothy, don't drink too much wine, because, you know, when you do, make sure it's done for the stomach's sake. And let me say this. I don't think there's anything wrong with drinking. It's just that if you partake of it and don't know how to control it, then it will begin to consume your life. The alcoholic isn't the man that took one drink and he became an alcoholic. It's the man that took 1,000 of them. And now he don't want the 1,001, but he can't help it. So in some things in life, you just don't mess with it at all. And here's another example. You don't mess with drugs at all. That's just one strong man. He's strong when he comes in. He's not building himself up, so to speak, but you leave him alone before he even gets into it. With the alcohol, I want to say this. Here's the results of it. Alcoholics come from drinking alcohol. Cirrhosis of the liver comes from drinking alcohol. And then there are other challenges that people have as a result of this strong man that we can identify. And then I want to mention that as far as the drugs are concerned, what comes as a result of messing with drugs? Mental disorder. Heart attacks for some people when they messing with the wrong drug. This cocaine and stuff, crack, just can't help, just can't handle it. The body's not built for it. And of course, it causes people to steal. And for others, they go to jail as a result of it. The bottom line is this. It messes up one's life altogether when the strong men are working against us in a physical sense. And all of this causes some kind of psychological challenges that we go through. If you don't think that is not tied into some psychological stuff, you look at the man that really does want to leave some of this stuff alone, and he can't do it. Psychologically speaking, now he finds himself thinking that he's a defeated individual because he ain't running his own life, but now someone else, the strong man, is running his life. And these are things that are identifiable. That's physically speaking. Mentally speaking, here's what happens. First of all, I'm going to read something from Galatians 5:19 through 21, because I think this gets over into mental stuff as well as mentioned something about physical things that we tend to get involved in as well. Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21, it says this: now the works of the flesh, meaning those things that get entangled in our flesh, shows up or manifest themselves, and this is what they are: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, which means that you got real strong, hot emotional feelings that's going on there. You got idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of which I tell you as before, as I have also told you in the past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Basically, God has identified things that we are not to be involved in. He said that for people that do these on a consistent basis will not inherit the kingdom of God, will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Paul kind of put it a little plain to us so that we don't have to guess what it is we need to be leaving alone. But I think what he's as well saying to us is that, listen, mentally speaking, when you allow yourself to get into things that are physically you're tying yourself to, mentally speaking, it's going to get to you, and you'll find yourself doing it more and more and more. But on the other hand, there are mental things that we can just say, hey, I'm going to leave it alone. I'm not going to get involved with it physically at all, and my life probably will be all right. But let's look at some mental strategies that the strong man use. They're all, of course, mindly things. And this as well leads to some kind of psychological problem. There are some people that tie themselves uniquely with people that they ought not to tie themselves with. And I've heard somebody in the past use soul tie, meaning that if you're a good guy and you align yourself up with a criminal, what ultimately is going to happen is that you're going to do criminal stuff. And so we have to know the different types of people that we befriend. And for those that we can look at and say, this guy don't look like he's right, it's best to leave him alone. Or this girl don't look like she's right, it's best to leave them alone. Because once you get entwined in relationships and so forth, it's harder to break away from those relationships. We see that in all kinds of things in life. You know, if my best friend goes to jail for doing something wrong, chances are I'm going to lie for him because he's my friend. And we get into all kinds of things as a result of the wrong kinds of relationships that we get into. And again, it's a mental process, the wrong kinds of people. Here's another strong man that people get caught up into. There are some individuals that get into astrology. Astrology is a mental thing that people go through to say, well, I'm going to read signs or read the signs of the heavens or read the signs of the stars, so to speak. I'm going to read signs of the palm of my hand. I'm going to read signs that according to what month I was born in. And that's all right. People say, well, I'm a Gemini, I'm a Aries, Taurus, whatever the case may be. And we all kind of play that little game along with, I won't say a game, but we kind of play along with that because we tend to think that Well, if you're a Gemini, then all Geminis think alike. But you have to understand that the enemy's reasoning behind getting us involved in a lot of stuff mentally is to dig deep into our lives and become a real strong man so that we don't think about God and how he's working in our lives, but he's thinking about himself. The man is thinking about himself and thinking about the things that Satan wants him to think. And so that is kind of like a strong man for some people, astrology. And really, if you want to think about it, astrology is another form of witchcraft. It's not trusting in God. It's trusting in what the signs can do for you and so forth and so on. Here is something, a mental strategy that the strong man is using big time today. Television, movies. Computers. Everything I basically named, I'm talking about physical and mental, has some good in it, but you have to know how to separate the good from the bad. Is anything wrong with TV? No, it's not. It only becomes something wrong with it when you're watching it 24 hours a day and you can't get it off CNN, or maybe you can't get it off of Cinemax. You can't get it off HBO, and it's wasting your time away, because now the strong man have you instead of you having the strong man. You got that button, and it's become so comfortable we just sit down and eat and waste our life away looking at television, looking at movies, and looking at computers. And see, there's an area about all of those that can get dangerously over into stuff that we ought not to be into, because now instead of us going out getting into the strong man's house, we allow the strong man to come into our lives and to corrupt our lives. You and I know that there's stuff on television that we ought not to be looking at. You and I know that when we go to the movies, they already tell you it's R-rated, X-rated, whatever the case may be. It's a sign for us to say we ought not to be messing with that stuff, but we do it anyway. And we do it even as Christians. Because, see, there are other things that can come through those channels. First of all, the shopaholic gets hooked on, what's that, QVC? Now I don't even have to go shop. I can just do it from home, and everything becomes. My point is this. The mental strategies that the strong man uses are the same mental strategies that he used with Adam and Eve and with every other man and woman that have come down through the ages. It's just that he's developing with the technology, and just like good comes through, evil comes through as well. Because here's the other thing that people get into. I mentioned to you that people look at television, and they look at movies, and they look at the computers, and there are things that come up on the screen. Let me say this to you. I was on the computer not too long ago, and something popped up on my computer. I don't even know where it came from. Only thing I knew, I'm looking at the screen, and it just shows up in my face. And it's X-rated stuff. And the first thought that went to my mind was, now I'm wondering if my children are experiencing some kind of stuff like this. Evidently, a virus trying to come through in this X-rated stuff. And I said, what the heck is this? You know, it's like, what the, where did that come from? I don't curse, so I wasn't going to say what the, you know. But my point is, it was shocking to me. And so let me say this. Sometimes on our computers, and there's a way that the enemy is trying to sneak something in to get a stronghold in my life, he will send stuff through like pornography. And pornography is not the way that we are to go, because what happens is this. Jesus said, he said, listen, when a man looks at a woman and he desires to be with her, in essence, he's committed adultery. And so pornography is another way wherein a person is getting over into looking at other women and he's committing adultery, really. Use this example here. David, when he was in his place minding his business and Bathsheba was out taking a bath, when David looked out and saw that woman and saw that she was naked and, you know, taking a bath, pornography began to play in his heart and mind. And we can see the devastation that came as a result of him giving heed to that strong man. He saw a woman that he knew was not his. He saw a woman that he knew belonged to another man, and he took her, because he saw pornography. And then he had the man killed, and he had other things, try to cover up the lie, of course. But I just say that to say, you know, if stuff like that pop up on your screen, run away from it. Hurry up and close it out. And don't get to gazing at it. Otherwise, it's allowing the strong man to get stronger and stronger. And so basically what happened is this. When we tend to give into the things of the world, really we are giving power to the strong man. And that strong man, when he gets his foot in the door, you've heard the little saying, you give Satan an inch, he takes a mile. That's all he really wants. He wants an inch. He doesn't say to you that you should never, ever get saved. He just said, wait till tomorrow. And then tomorrow never comes, because we know how tomorrow works. Everything is always today. Tomorrow, when we put it off, it never comes. Okay, now let me say this about the spiritual strong man, because there are strong men that operates in a spiritual sense. We understand that when God first ordained man, he blew into him the breath of life. And man became a living soul, and therefore we are to commune with God as the God, and we are to have a relationship with God as the God. But what people have done over the ages is that they have gotten into false worship of God. Cain was one of the first ones that did it, because when they brought a sacrifice into God, he brought the worst of what he had to offer God. And in essence, it was an attempt to say, I'm not going to worship God in spirit and in truth. I'm going to worship God with any old thing that I have. And he brought that which was rejected by God. But to show how God is a loving God, he said, but Cain, if you do right, it shall be well with thee. But if not, then sin lies at our door. In essence, what God is saying is this. When we do right, it will be well with us. But if we choose not to, or we choose to accept the strong man, then what happens is that sin lies at our door, and the strong man enters in, he takes control, and our lives become a shamble. Because again, everything I mentioned here, it will ultimately mess up your house, it'll mess up your life, it'll mess up your body, it'll mess up everything about you. So false worship, or false religion may be a better word to use. Then there are some people in which the strong men enter in, and they have the idea that, well, I don't have to go to church to worship God. That's true. But Paul put it out there that we should forsake not the assembling of ourselves. Because a television, an evangelist or a televangelist on television can't do for you what the Spirit of God does in the midst of a congregation. Jesus said that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of thee. But a television is not another person. I don't care how many other people that you see. It's only you in that room in a mechanical instrument, and the Spirit of God is less there than it would be if you're in the midst of congregation. Besides that, there are other means that it's used for. It's not only designed for what you can get out of service, but what you can give to service. By seeing the presence of Gwen, by seeing the presence of Dexter there, it means even that much more to me, because they decided to come here maybe for the first time, but it's like saying, okay, there are new people or other people that I'm not as familiar with, but they have connected with us today. And so all of that is working hand in hand. Some people don't study. Some people don't pray. Some people really just say, I'm a born-again Christian, but they don't involve themselves in the things that born-again Christians are to involve themselves in. And there's a way that the enemy is trying to get a stronghold into our lives, spiritually speaking, and become very dominant in our life. Because when the strong man is affecting us in the area of spirituality, that means you do lose the tendency to worship together with others, pray less, study less, and even read your Bible less. And so I already mentioned the third one that I tend to, and that was to not the assembling of ourselves. You know, you might say, well, how is it that I know that I'm going to worship the true God of the universe? Here's a good indication as to why Christianity is the true religion and the others are not. Out of all of the religions that you know of, they have a tendency to raise man up from man to make him a god. Christianity is the only religion wherein God came down and made himself a man so that he can forgive us for our sins, wash us clean. If you notice, Islam, the idea is that they want to elevate man. And they, it's not about bringing God down. When I say bring God down, it's not demeaning God. It means that God became what we needed him to become in order for us to be what he wanted us to be. Godly. And we can't do it unless he came down and became a man, as he did do through Jesus Christ. Last thing I want to say is this. Here are some examples of people that allowed strong men to attack and engulf their lives, and they lost it. I already mentioned to you that Cain. Cain was one that was into false worship, a false religion. There was another man that we know very well, and there was a man named Solomon. And Solomon, he was a great king, wealthiest man perhaps that maybe had ever lived, especially during his time. But Solomon had a strong man that entered into him, and it's called W-O-M-E-N, women. And as a result of that, Solomon followed after false gods. God even told Solomon, listen, and I want you to leave the foreign women alone, man. There are women that you can partake of the children of Israel. Why would you go after the other women, the Canaanites and the Amorites? Why? Because they were beautiful, some of them were. And that's the way it is with a man sometimes. He ain't satisfied with his own. He wants his and somebody else's too. But it devastated Solomon's life as a result of it. Not only devastated Solomon's life, because remember what I said? It will destroy your life, the strong man, but it will as well destroy your house. It will as well destroy your community. With Solomon, the nation of Israel got into false worship, worshiping false gods, simply because the king was into it too, messing up his whole country. There was another man named Samson. We know what he was caught up into as well, a strong man that was in his life. It was women like Solomon was. God told him the same thing. Man, there are women in your own nation. Why you want to go out and mess with the Philistines? As a result of it, he lost his life simply because there was a strong man involved in it that he could not control. Lot. Strong man of, he was not involved in sodomy himself, but he was connected with relationships of people that were sodomites. And for the children that don't know what a sodomite is, go look it up in the dictionary or ask your mom and dad. They'll tell you. Well, I can tell you, sodomites are men with men, women with women. And the reason is that Lot didn't leave it alone is because, hey, my next door neighbor is my best friend, but he's a sodomite. The guy down the street, the tax collector, he's a sodomite. But I become friends with him. And you would think a man that's supposed to be righteous would have left a place like that alone, because everybody, for the most part, was in it were sodomites. And God had to destroy that. As a result of Lot tangling himself up in the relationships, he lost his wife and son-in-laws. He may not have cared about that, but he lost his wife. Last man I want to speak of as an example is Judas. We know what he did. He lost his life, but it was because there was a strong man that had gotten into him. For the love of money, he did things that he should not have done, and it cost him his life. My point is, out of these things that I mentioned, there are spiritual strong men that we have to fight against, there are mental strong men that we have to fight against, and there are physical strong men that we have to fight against, and we have to always be aware as to how they are trying to get in. And for the most part, again, it's these gates that we have, that for some reason or another, God made them for good and evil to pass through. But he at the same time put within us the will and the ability and the blood of Jesus Christ to say, not only am I going to stop you at the gate, but should you get in, by the hand of God, as Jesus said, by the finger of God, I do cast out devils. You can do it. I can do it. And we can stop a lot of things that we might find ourselves getting into. But the best way to do it is to stop it at the gate. Because once he gets beyond the gate, we're wrestling with another power then. Because we are wrestling with this flesh. And we are wrestling with this mentality. And ultimately, the spiritual man is being destroyed when he becomes too strong. And therefore, I say to you, in identifying these strong men, you take an introspection of your own life to see what is it that's maybe moving you to go to the left or to the right and not keeping you focused on God. And then you deal with that strong man. If he's already in you or in that temple, cast him out. You have the power, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens you. God told, Paul said to the Corinthians, he said, listen, there is no temptation that is common to man that has taken you that I will not give you the power to overcome it. And so do understand that you fight. And let me say this last statement here. That is, with the strong man, you have to understand that he's working with tools that we already like to partake of anyway. I like drinking. I like foreign women. They appeal to me. I love money. I love going shopping. I love all of these things. I love somebody tantalizing me by telling me what's written in the palm of my hand. But they're strong men. And because I love them, that's what he's going to use. And that's what we have to be aware of and fight against. Father, in the name of Jesus, help us, my God. We need help. None of us can make it without you. And I ask that you will certainly not only give us the strength, but give us the power to overcome the strong man. He will not in any way have victory over us. And I proclaim that, Lord, as a church. I proclaim it as a man of God. I proclaim it for the men of God and the women of God. And I praise you that we do have the victory in all things that we do. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. If you would please stand. I want to give the opportunity for anyone.